listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Whether you're in healthcare, married or otherwise related to a healthcare professional, or simply interested in how God continues to work through Christ followers in patient care and beyond, we're so glad you're here. In this episode, I'm joined by Pastor Bert Jones, who is CMDA's Vice President of Missions and Member Care. He'll be co-hosting this conversation with me today. We're addressing a deeply personal and often unspoken struggle: pornography addiction and sexual compulsive behaviors, and their impact on individuals, marriages, and the entire healthcare community. Our guest is Mr. Nick Stumbo. He is the executive director of Pure Desire Ministries. He leads an organization that is dedicated to helping men and women break free from pornography and end sexually compulsive behaviors. The truth is, friends, that as healthcare professionals and leaders or pastors, we often don't receive any more training or support in healthy sexuality than anybody else. Many carry these struggles into their work, yet the nature of their roles often makes it hard to be open about them because they fear jeopardizing their careers. Nick offers invaluable insight as we explore the realities of addiction, the path to healing, and how healthcare professionals can not only navigate these struggles themselves, but also support others on their journey to freedom. So let's jump into this conversation and learn a whole lot about the critical first steps toward recovery and freedom. Pastor Bert, welcome back to CMDA Matters. And, you know, from time to time, you hear as head of our Center for Wellbeing from healthcare professionals, physicians included, who have struggled or are struggling with this issue of pornography.
Yeah. In fact, we just received a phone call from one of our members who had gone through this, had been helped by this ministry we're going to be talking to today. And we believe God's in the midst of doing something here to help our CMDA members.
So with that in mind, Executive Director of Pure Desire Ministries, Mr. Nick Stumbo, thank you for joining us today on CMDA Matters.
I'm glad to be here. Yeah, thank you for having this vital conversation.
You got involved in this ministry addressing unwanted sexual behavior. How has your journey shaped your understanding of addiction as well as recovery, Nick?
Yeah, it started as a personal journey. You know, I'd been honest with my wife about struggles I'd had with pornography before we were married, and I wasn't under the illusion that marriage would fix my issues, but I just felt I would outgrow it. I never wanted it in my life. Every time was going to be the last time. And for 10 years into our marriage and into ministry, I continued to struggle with this behavior. And as often as I could, I would be honest with my wife, and I would keep saying, well, this isn't about you. It's a problem I've had early in my life, and I'm working on it, and it's getting better. And yet it would keep happening. And it was in 2010 that we heard the founder of Pure Desire Ministries, Dr. Ted Roberts, speak at an event for our pastors in our denomination. And our district leadership got up and offered a pathway for help for leaders that were struggling with online pornography. And I was hesitant to go, but my wife heard the same talk and knew that we desperately needed help. And with her elbow in my ribs, I found my way into a counseling office to determine if Pure Desire would be a good fit for me. And I tried to explain to this counselor why I didn't need that much help. I was really close to being free. I just needed a few more ideas, and I was probably good to go. And he was the first person to ask me these questions, to say, Nick, how long has it been a problem? Which at that point was over 15 years. How many times have you tried to stop? And I said, every time was the last time. So I've tried to stop 100 or 1,000 times. And he said, number three, is it causing you or people you love pain? And I said, yeah, I think if I don't quit, my wife will leave me. And that's when he said, Nick, if you put that together, it's been a problem for a long time. You've tried repeatedly to stop without success, even though it's causing tremendous pain. That's the clinical definition of an addiction. And I remember I sat back like he had just slapped me, because here I was, a pastor, I loved the Lord. I was sincere in my faith. I wasn't trying to hide or live a double life. And to think of myself as an addiction was so outside my box mm-hmm. at that time that it was hard to accept. But as I began to understand it, and we leaned into Pure Desire and learned about the patterns in the brain and the pathways that are shaped over time and the neurochemistry, it actually started to make sense of my story. And addiction didn't mean I wasn't responsible. Addiction meant it shaped the reality of how much work it was going to take to learn a new pattern of behavior. And as we entered into that and saw the seriousness of this issue as an addiction, it became life-changing and life-giving and has become now a big part, obviously, of what I get to be a part of in leading Pure Desire Ministries now.
Nick, I am so thankful for your willingness to speak out on this issue, your vulnerability mm-hmm. and honesty. I've had a chance to hear your whole testimony online. It's powerful. This is a problem across the board for men and women. And so it's not just for one section of
That's right.
Of the society. But how about in terms of leadership? What I mean, it's a problem everywhere, but what unique challenges present themselves to people in leadership and in our context here, healthcare professionals, and how can they overcome the fear of career repercussions?
I think the reality is that no matter what profession we are trained for and what position we rise into, we are still, at the end of the day, human beings. We are men and women who are made in the image of God as sexual beings. And the truth that I've seen, whether it's in a seminary or Bible college or the medical profession, we are typically not trained or discipled in how to manage our own sexuality well. And there are a lot of assumptions made that, well, if you're a professional, like if you've got all these skills and talents and the smarts to have that job, you'll probably figure out the personal stuff on the side. And yet the truth is, we don't have as leaders or pastors or medical professionals any more training or opportunities than the average person does. And the truth is, there just isn't much happening in our world, and especially in faith communities, to disciple us into healthy sexuality. And so we take our challenges, our sinful patterns, our addictions, right into those professions, only now we're in professions that really don't permit us to be real about it. Because often if we were completely honest, there is a sincere possibility that we might lose a job or a profession. And it's the one thing we've been trained to do.
Right.
We get trapped. You know, it's really a double bind of I want help, but if I seek help, I might lose everything. And so we have found that it's so important, whether it's in a pastoral role, a medical professional, that there is a confidential place they can go to get help. And that's why, you know, we have a team of counselors. That's why we provide online groups. And even at the local church level, we emphasize so strongly the participation of people in these groups absolutely is confidential, so that a pastor or leader or medical professional has the confidence to take that first step. And what I like to say is, you don't need to be able to know how the whole road goes before you take that first step. And that first step can be confidential, so that the only people who know that you're in that group are the other people in that group. And in creating those kind of safe environments, then anyone can get help, no matter what title they have behind their name.
So why don't you unpack that, Nick? I have a feeling what you've just shared in the last 60 seconds, maybe some people are on their treadmills or walking outside and exercising. Maybe they're listening in their car and like, oh my, we're talking about something that's hitting very close to home for me. I mean, I have talked with thousands of healthcare professionals in my career, including some heading for the mission field, including some who are coming back from the mission field, and this is an issue. Now, like you, they may not say this is an addiction. So you've talked about a first step. They've been able to keep this a secret. No one knows, not even a spouse. So what does that look like, engaging with Pure Desire to start going down the path for recovery?
Let me first address a mindset there that I think is very common, where we feel like, and I was in it for 10 years, of this is only happening once in a while. Is it really that big of a deal? And maybe we feel the guilt and shame that, okay, the people I love don't know everything, but is it really that bad? And we need to recognize that is a hallmark trait of addictive behavior, is to minimize, to rationalize, and deny. And the truth we know, particularly about sexually compulsive behaviors, as is true of any addictive behavior, is that it doesn't stay stagnant. It doesn't keep us there. This is by nature something that will take us further than we meant to go, keep us longer than we meant to stay, and cost us more than we ever thought we'd pay. And by the time people seek help, that usually are looking back saying, I never thought it would go to this place. I never thought it would go this far. And yet that's the nature of compulsive sexual behavior. And so I like to look at it and say, if we recognize this poison is in our life to any degree, and we don't have any true confidence that it has been dealt with fully and finally, we're acknowledging this poison is going to continue to come in until it takes me to a place where it truly has caused destruction. So if you're on the treadmill or listening to this and going, yeah, I've got some issues, but really, you're in that place of acknowledging, I should probably do something. And so taking that first step, you know, what we talk about with sexually compulsive behaviors or addiction or really, you know, whatever someone wants to call it, there's a behavior in your life that you wish wasn't there, is ultimately it's not about sex. It's not about the high. It's really rooted in an intimacy deficiency about relationships, that we've been wounded in relationships, that's now creating a need for us to reach out for these materials or this way of coping with life. And that's why a group environment is so vital, because it's in a healthy group environment where we relearn appropriate steps of intimacy and relationships, where people who know our whole story don't run away from us and reject us, but they stay present and they're with us in the journey. And that's why really the heart of Pure Desire Ministries is groups. Like, if you come to Pure Desire and you're around our stuff for very long, pretty soon you're going to hear, you need a group. And you're probably going to hear it over and over and over. And that's why we have online groups for men who struggle and for women who struggle. And we have online groups for wives who feel betrayed and are dealing with the trust issues associated with this, because they need community too in recovery. And we have groups for men who are dealing with that betrayal, because this is something as couples we need to heal from together. And so those online groups meet at all different times during the week, and they're meant to be a secure, confidential place, because one of the unique things that Pure Desire does, once our groups, we have 7 or 8 people in the group, once that group is filled, it's closed, it's taken off the website, and those will be the people you journey with for the next 8 or 9 months through a significant pathway of healing and recovery. So that it's a big step, and we have a lot of other tools and materials that people could explore first. I mean, even listening to this podcast, listening to a Pure Desire podcast to be educated, to understand the journey I might need to take is also a great starting place, because if we don't know what we don't know, we're not going to be motivated to take that step. So I just celebrate people who are even at this point thinking about what their next step might be.
Nick, in preparation for this interview, I listened to your testimony. You made a statement, porn was not your problem. You talked about deeper issues, and that you're kind of hitting on that right there. How does the trauma behind pornography, is usually the solution you're trying to fix the problem with, how does trauma, including some of these experiences specific to healthcare professionals, like losing a patient, facing lawsuits, moral injury, how can that impact our listeners today, and what solutions do you have for the underlying problems that's driving them to seek out pornography?
The best way I could answer that is to share a little bit of the snapshot of my story, because I believed that pornography was my problem. And if I just fixed that problem, life would be pretty good. Everything else was okay. And so early on in my counseling journey with Dr. Ted Roberts, he said, Nick, you're going to find out that really this is being driven by wounds in your life and probably a father wound. And I'm like, no, because I got a great dad. We're friends to this day. We have a good relationship. Like, I don't have those problems. And Ted nodded and said, well, we'll see. And as we walked through this process, I discovered many ways in which, not intentionally, but there were deep wounds in my way of seeing myself, because my dad was not a perfect human being. And because my dad's not perfect, his imperfections impacted my neediness in a way that created what we would call trauma. Now, it wasn't trauma because he beat me or yelled at me. A lot of it had to do with things around sports and performance, where unintentionally the message I received, and that's really the point of trauma. Trauma is not about what's done to us. Trauma is about what we believe inside ourselves. And so my trauma wasn't what my dad did, but it's how I interpreted that I wasn't good enough, I didn't measure up, and I didn't have what it took to be a real man. And so I take that into my teenage years, and what questions does pornography answer? Well, pornography, in a very artificial, momentary way, says you're good enough, you measure up, you matter. And so it became a pseudo solution to these deeper needs of asking the question, do I measure up? And so then what would happen when you fast forward into my ministry career, if a sermon didn't go particularly well, if a meeting with the elders didn't have the outcome I hoped for, those voices that were saying, you're not good enough, you don't measure up, they would start to flare up. And I would add, most of this is happening at a more subconscious level, right? It's not like I'm after the meeting going, man, I feel just like I did when my dad would talk to me after my sports games that I'm not good at. No, but at a deep level, I was feeling this unworthiness, and then would, in that pattern, end up struggling with lust and fantasy that would ultimately lead to pornography. And in the counseling journey and the group journey with Pure Desire, it was unraveling that whole connection between my past trauma and the lies that I believed, and the way that when those would be triggered, my brain had learned that the go-to to feel good is to go to pornography or compulsive sexual behaviors. And so as someone thinks about their journey, that's why a group is so central, because you really can't do that kind of work alone. And if you do it alone, you will stay stuck in some of the same patterns of self-blindness that have kept you unable to make progress in this issue already. I like to tell people that when I did group with Pure Desire for the first time, I don't know that I learned anything new about myself. But what I learned was hundreds of ways in which my story connected in ways that I had been blind to. And so going on that journey is going to help you unpack maybe things you've known to be true your whole life, you just haven't seen how they connect and how to get traction in changing them.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. We're excited to announce the newest addition to CMDA's long list of resources for our members, and it is specifically for students and residents. Called Standing Strong in Training, this new curriculum helps healthcare students and residents stand up against the cultural pressures facing Christians within healthcare today. The curriculum's 7 modules are designed for group settings, allowing attendees to solidify their foundational worldview beliefs regarding important issues, such as the beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Each module also offers ideas of how to winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their worldview beliefs. For more information and to download this free resource, visit cmda.org/standingstrong. Time is running out to register for the 2025 CMDA National Convention in St. Charles, Missouri on May 1st through 4th. Sponsored by Samaritan's Purse, this is the premier event for healthcare professionals, residents, students, and spouses to gather in community together. Our guest speakers include Dr. Eric McLaughlin, Ryan Bomberger, Aaron Hawley, and more. We can't wait to gather together and for God to show us how we can each be a spoke in the wheel for Christ in healthcare. So reserve your spot now. For more information and to register, visit natcon.cmda.org. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
Nick, I'm sure that a lot of people who are listening to this podcast right now who have or struggling with this addiction to pornography have probably tried some form of help at this point. You think about traditional forms of recovery. How is Pure Desire Ministries different? What's your approach? You mentioned small groups, but are there other things that you guys are doing that are different to helping people unpack this and see some success in that?
One of our core values as a ministry is to be biblically based and clinically informed. So we believe that God made the brain, that God designed our reward systems and the pleasure centers, and we believe that sin and Satan hijack those very good systems for evil purposes. And when we can understand what's happening at a brain and a neurobiological level in the addictive process, and the way that links to things like trauma and how we've learned to respond to pain, and how all of that is biblical, and not that we're like leaving the Bible behind and then going and doing some modern science thing, that no, this is all unpacking God's creation and the fallenness of humanity and how it works out in our sinful choices. And creating that in a group environment that is really meant to be not just a quick fix. You know, I think some people are probably already reeling from when I said these might be 8 or 9 month groups, because we're kind of conditioned to think, well, like, just give me 3 steps, or couldn't we just have a powerful men's weekend and we deal with this? But these are patterns that have been rooted in our brain. And often by the time we're really facing them, we're talking about 20 or 30 years of believing and behaving the same way. And so to unravel that is not just a process of awareness. It's actually a process of walking in a new way and doing that over time long enough that the brain relearns. One of the things we talk about is that we're not here to just stop a behavior. We're here to change the way you do life and to see that the behavior is the outcome of the way you do life. So I would say, and not to, you know, I certainly don't want to put down or criticize any effort to help in this area because I believe it's all needed, but many approaches are really behavior focused. It's snap the rubber band, it's divert the eyes, it's have all the software, it's all the, you know, accountability software, and all those things are good and helpful, but they don't get at the heart or the deeper issues that are driving the behavior. And sooner or later, if those aren't dealt with, it's gonna come back up, either in the same areas or into new addictive kind of patterns. And I think that's what makes us different is we're really looking at holistic change and involving the whole the couple if possible, because many other programs also kind of have a mindset that, like, let's take the struggler, let's send them off to the woods for a 45-day retreat, let's fix them all up and shine them up and send them home, and now everything's good. Only they haven't learned how to do recovery in real life with their family, with the pressure of jobs and the world around them. And those programs can be tremendously effective in their context. But I think we've seen that often they don't translate into now doing life in a new way. And so that's where our groups are meant to be clinical level work, but done in the ebb and flow of everyday life so that I learn to be healthy in the context in which God has put me, whether I'm serving overseas somewhere or in a job in my local community. Like, I've got to learn to be healthy there with the pressures of life and family. And that's what can happen in the process of a group.
Yeah, I was going to say the next trauma triggers. I mean, they get the quick fix, but the next trauma triggers it.
Yeah.
Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about a ministry that Pastor Bert, that you're launching within mm-hmm. CMDA in conjunction, partnership with Pure Desire, and calling it Secret Struggle. And so Secret Struggle, that's suggesting that no one knows about what's going on. Clearly, in your story, your wife knew. When you were having these struggles. I'm just curious, how does pornography impact, in general, spouses? I'm sure every story is a little bit different, but those relationships. And I was surprised to read that from some of your materials that it's not just a reveal and then an asking a repentance and asking forgiveness and somehow things are all rosy in terms of relationships. So talk about this impact and why is it difficult and maybe a little bit risky just to dump on your spouse and say, this is my problem I've been struggling with. I wanted to tell you.
Yeah. When the desire to disclose, the desire to be truthful is a very good desire. But sometimes in that desire, and we've even seen a lot of churches will kind of coach us like, go home tonight and tell them everything. And we go home and it's what I would call emotional vomiting. We get it all out. Ugh! And you know what? We feel better just like we do after we throw up. But the mess is on everybody else and they're left to clean it up. And very often they don't have the resources or the support to walk through that mess. And what we're finding is very often that is a traumatic experience. And what's more, because we haven't really taken the time to do some of our work to process fully everything that has happened, that it tends to become staggered disclosure. That moment of truth leads to a whole bunch more of, oh, yeahs, and I forgot about, and now the spouse is asking questions, and what about this? And well, yeah, that's true. And over time, what research has shown is that staggered disclosure can leave a betrayed spouse with the emotional profile of a rape victim. And that sounds very extreme, but it underscores the impact that sexually compulsive behaviors have on a relationship. Because if we think even biblically about what God says of our marriage, the two become one flesh, that this is intended to be the intimacy of a relationship that mimics the intimacy that the church has with Christ, that they are completely, and is in the Genesis 2 and 3 narrative, completely exposed and naked before one another in a way that is completely without shame, without fear. And so in that intended perfect bond, you enter in the division of pornography, that one of the partners is now objectifying and looking at other women, is doing what we would call from Matthew chapter 5, lusting of the mind, adultery of the mind, going outside of the marriage. and into areas that now cause a spouse to question everything they know. Am I good enough? Am I beautiful? Am I loved? Is what we have true? And even if the struggling spouse is doing everything they can, as I was for 10 years, to say, this isn't about you, you're wonderful, we have a great marriage, I'm working really hard to change this, those words aren't enough to counteract the impact of the behaviors on that spouse. And that's why I said earlier, the betrayed spouse needs support as well. They need a group to help them understand, what am I feeling? Am I crazy? Is this about me? Do I have to give more sex to fix my spouse? And they learn that they can't be responsible to fix their spouse or save them. So they need all that help. But to go back to the confession then, it's where we encourage as much as possible, if you are the struggler, begin to do your work and begin to create a full cohesive narrative of what your struggle has been, so that when honesty comes, and I do underscore that in an intimate, lasting marriage, honesty needs to take place, but that when that honesty comes, it is done factually, it's done without any blaming or minimizing, and it is complete, that a spouse now knows, okay, this is everything, and by God's grace and with the help of others, we can work to rebuild. And at Pure Desire, that's where we've gotten to see over and over the beauty that can come out of a very, very challenging situation when it's done well. But when we're emotionally just trying to get it off our chest, it often creates more pain and a longer process than we intended. So I would say, if you're someone that's saying, I got to get this secret somewhere, don't start with your spouse, start with another man or another woman for the females, get it off your chest with them and begin to process. And at the right moment and the right timing, you'll be able to give a truthful telling to your spouse that from there you can begin to rebuild.
Nick, women, it's not a group that traditionally we've thought about having addictions to pornography, but obviously that number is increasing over time, at least the statistics that I read. So what resources and support systems would you have for women in healthcare professionals who are struggling with this addiction?
As I mentioned, we do have groups for both. For women who are feeling betrayed or working through that in their marriage, we have a workbook and a group called Betrayal and Beyond. So they've experienced the betrayal and now they're working to get beyond it. But we also know that women struggle. You know, last year we did some research with the Barna Group and found out that among practicing Christians, 54% of all practicing Christians would now say that to some degree they are viewing pornography. And that's 75% of Christian men, but it's also 40% of Christian women. So that's one of the points we're trying to underscore, whether it's in a church or a nonprofit or organizations, to say, we've traditionally thought of this as a men's problem, but we need to expand and think of this as a people problem. Because whether we're male or female, we are all made in God's image as sexual beings. And women also have the capacity to get caught up in this and to get trapped. And when they do, very often they're dealing with a double bind of shame, because they feel the shame of their choices, but they also feel shame that they have a quote unquote man's problem. Because that's what the church has told them, like, well, this is what men struggle with. And then if the woman is struggling, she feels very isolated and wonders, why am I the only one dealing with this? And yet the data would say 40% of women are in that place. And so we have a group called Unraveled for women who are dealing with their own sexually compulsive behaviors to understand what's going on and to break free from that. And those might be two separate groups of women as they face whatever pain or heartache they're walking through.
Nick, our healthcare professionals have some unique opportunities to have conversation with patients. And I'm imagining from time to time, things that indicators would lead to this. What advice would you have to maybe give one of our listeners how they could use their role as a healthcare professional to speak into this and provide help for those patients?
That's a great question. You know, in that data we did with Barna, people were asked, who do you feel comfortable going to with this topic? And the number one answer was a counselor. So I'm grateful we have caring professionals that counselors are there. The number two answer was their doctor. That there are professionals that people feel like, well, this is their job to help answer my questions. So I think if we're in that role, to be aware that most people do not have safe, healthy places for these conversations. And your appointment or office might be the first place they feel safe to say, yeah, I'm struggling. And maybe they mention, yeah, we're having marriage issues. I think in a gracious way to say, has compulsive sexual behavior been a problem? Are there pornography issues? What does it look like for me to care for you and provide help? Because as we also know, what's happening at a very deep emotional, mental level will eventually impact us at a physical level. That the levels of stress or shame or burden we carry will become often resulting in physical symptoms. And so in our care and in our work with clients, to just be aware of, man, there might be some deep-seated relationship issues around sexual brokenness or dysfunction that maybe in just a list of questions we ask to show care, to just say, hey, I'd like to explore all the areas that might be impacting your life. Is any of this true? And if you get, you know, a yes response, to be willing to lean into that, and then to have also at the same time the freedom, if you're not a trained counselor in sexual addiction recovery, to say, man, I would like to resource you to people that do this for a living, that could help, that you're not alone. And then being able to provide that care through a referral to maybe a group like Pure Desire or others that could provide a high level of competent care for them.
Nick, I'm just so thankful for you being on the podcast today and for speaking out on this issues, and looking forward to the CMDA partnership with you guys.
Me too. I think it's one of the biggest messages we all need to hear is that you are not alone. Mm-hmm. If you're struggling, you're thinking, I've derailed my career. If people knew, they'd reject me. That thought has been felt 1,000 times by 1,000 other people around you. And I've worked with them in groups over and over. And to hear a group member say, it's just so incredible to realize the things I'm dealing with, I wasn't the only one. And when I opened up that door, others walked in and said, man, we're with you, and what a difference that made. So thank you for having the conversation, for being willing to address it. And I pray that it leads to a real avalanche of change within the organization.
Mike, one other thing I wanted to add is just yesterday I was telling someone about this new ministry at CMDA, and they were so intrigued, so passionate about this ministry, and they've already volunteered to be a part of our team. So if you're listening to this, you may not be struggling with a pornography, or maybe you have in the past and have gotten help, but you want to be involved in this ministry, we'd love to talk to you. Reach out to me at pbj@cmda.org, and I can tell you more details about what's going on.
God bless you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Nick.
Blessings, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, a special thank you to our guest, Nick Stumbo, for his insight. I love that. An avalanche of change. We don't think about positive things when we hear about avalanches, but an avalanche of change. Breaking free from pornography and sexual compulsive behaviors, and supporting those on the journey to healing from this addiction. If you or someone you know is struggling, remember, as Nick said, you are not alone. Confidential resources like Pure Desire Ministries and professional counseling are available to help you. If you found this conversation valuable, please give CMDA Matters a follow on socials and share the episode and subscribe to the podcast for more future discussions on faith in healthcare. For May 1st through the 4th in St. Charles, Missouri, more than 1,000 Christian healthcare professionals and spouses will come together to enjoy heartfelt community. They will sharpen their understanding of our current cultural moment and stand strong for biblical truth. Thanks to the generous support of our premier sponsors, Samaritan's Purse and Liberty University College of Osteopathic Medicine, we have an incredible lineup of speakers waiting for you. You can check them out on our website. Friends, let's make this the biggest CMDA national convention ever. Register now and be a part of something truly amazing. Plus, if you are a first-time attendee, you will receive $100 off your registration fees. You don't want to miss this opportunity to be inspired and equipped. So register today by going to natcon.cmda.org. This year's convention actually marks the 8th annual CMDA VIE poster session. It's a unique opportunity for students as well as residents to present scholarly work and receive academic mentorship within CMDA. You know, several years ago, a small group of residents developed the idea of including a poster session at CMDA's convention in order that we might encourage more students and residents to attend. And it actually is working. We've seen a growing number of students and residents join us each year. And we believe in a record turnout. It's going to happen this year. Be sure to stop by the poster session in the Student Resident Lounge while attending the convention and interact with a future generation of healthcare professionals who love Christ. And as I close this week's program, I just want to give a shout out to our CMDA Matters production team, including Rusty Sluter, our sound engineer, Pablo Rivas, who is our social media specialist, my executive assistant who sets up all these interviews on the calendar, Terry Bailey, and our newest member addition to the team is our new producer, Miss Kat Denton from Abingdon, Virginia. Welcome, Kat, and thanks for making CMDA Matters possible. And don't miss next week's episode. I'm going to be joined together with Bill Reichert, our Vice President of Campus and Community Ministries, in a compelling conversation with Dr. K, that's what we're calling him, about the unique challenges faced by emergency medicine doctors in America. He's in a creative access, limited access country, so we've given him a pseudonym. You don't want to miss it. We are bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world through committed Christ followers in healthcare. That is what matters every day, every week to us at CMDA and CMDA Matters. May you recognize this week that the Lord is truly with you, that He is for you to do His good work. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you next time, Lord willing, on CMDA Matters.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.